True those words are to us as God imparts his word to us. The ancient word that never changes is the same yesterday, today and forever. And it's important to let these lovely songs that we play prepare our hearts to come into God's presence. I know it's not always easy when we're online, but we can still prepare ourselves because it's a divine appointment when we come together, where Jesus said, where two or three gather together, there am I in the midst of you. And we are desperate in these last days for his word to be imparted into our hearts, as that song has reminded us. But let's commit our time into God's presence now. Heavenly Father, you have brought us before your mercy seat. You have brought us before your presence. Because your word has come in these last days to bring healing, deliverance, salvation. And your word always points to Calvary, the cross. The work that was achieved in redeeming us and bringing us back to you. Father, we ask that your word will be imparted to our hearts now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Praise God. Well, I want to continue. As I said a few months ago, I started a series calling Discerning the Times, Discerning the Times. And from time to time, I believe the Lord would have us to look at end time events, because that's what we're looking at. Because Jesus told us we are to discern, we are to test, we are to see the season in these last days. So this comes under discerning the times. And I have a subheading for this, and I'm calling this teaching this evening, Man is being alienated from the life of God. Man is being alienated from the life of God. And I want to base this teaching tonight from Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, and I want us primarily to look at verses 17 to 18. Man is being alienated from God. Verse 17 and 18. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, and being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Now, that is a warning in many ways to all of us with regard to our consecration. That is why it's not wise to be too involved with the world, Gentiles. And the reason being is because verse 18 tells us that their understanding is darkened. It's alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them and the blindness of their heart. And we know that that is how the world walks today. And indeed, all of what we've expressed there and seen is getting worse. So I'm calling this teaching, man is being alienated from the life of God. You know, this warns us to have a daily life and devotion with the Lord. And we've got to avoid walking with those who do not love the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, of course, we meet with people, we work with them, and so on. But you cannot walk with them. You cannot befriend them as friends, like the world does, simply because they don't walk with the Lord. They are blind. They have ignorance. They're not seeing. And they walk in the futility of their minds, their imaginations. That's how they walk. That's how they think. Whatever sounds right or logic or what suits them, that's the way I walk and that's the way I live. But that is not the way we live. There is a standard that God has set in our lives as Christians that are born again, that we are to adhere and walk. And this is how and why God is working with us like he does. Jesus said, although you're in the world, you are not of the world. In other words, you don't walk the way of the world. You don't act the way that the world does. Now, it's interesting that in this decline that we are seeing now in these closing days, that each generation is a step declining from God and his standards. One could say that this started actually from the fall of Adam and Eve. And the Bible clearly shows that Jesus has to come and intervene. Because if he doesn't come and intervene, man will fall beyond all recognition. He will fall to such a point that no one could be redeemed. And that is why God has it under control. That is why he is sovereign. And he knows how far to let this all go. Even though at times it looks as though could it go any further. Yet God is under control. Now, we see in verse 18 where it says, having their understanding darkened. It's interesting, this word, darkened, because it means to be deprived. Deprived of light. Your eyes are not seeing. The understanding of your mind is not comprehending God, his ways, his word, what he's saying. You are deprived from all of this. This is what it means to be darkened. It means to have a covering. Now, who covers? Who does that? We are told that the God of this world blinds the eyes. In other words, he covers so that the Gentiles can't see. You were covered, you couldn't see until Jesus removed that and started to reveal himself and give light and revelation of himself. That is what it's saying here. Now, we can appeal to Matthew 24. Matthew 24 and verse 29 of Matthew 24. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaking. There is that same word, darkness. That is what the end times are going to be. So at the moment, it is a spiritual darkness, but it will also be a physical one. As judgments are falling, there will come against a darkness, but this time from light, from the sun, and so on. The world put into complete darkness. Can you imagine what that is going to be like? We also see another darkness. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1, verse 21. I'll be looking quite a bit at Romans chapter 1. At the moment, I just want to refer to this with regard to this darkness, to cover. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. There is that same word again. The Apostle Paul refers to this again with regard to Israel, the state that she is in at present, in Romans 11 and verse 10. Let their eyes be darkened so that they do not see and bow down their back always. So this is Israel's rejection. And because of her rejection, she walks in that darkness until God will one day remove it. So we get a pretty graphic idea of what this is all about. And so going back to Ephesians chapter 4 verse 18, having their understanding then darkened and being alienated from the life of God. Now, what is this word alienated? It simply means to be shut out from. In the case here, it's to be shut out from the fellowship with God and each other. In other words, it's no fellowship. It's those who have estranged themselves from God. They detach themselves from God. There is no fellowship. There's no recognition. There's no turning to him. This is what this idea of being alienated from the life of God. And again, we look at such verses like Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 15. 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. So there, that is what Christ has done. Where we were once alienated from him. We also see in Colossians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, verse 21, and you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. So there we are. There is the difference. That is how we once were. We were alienated from God. We were shut out, estranged. We then see a little more back in Ephesians 4:18. Being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. So what is this understanding of ignorance? It actually means a moral blindness. A moral blindness of divine things. So that we were morally corrupt. And finally, with that word, ignorance, Acts chapter 17, Acts 17 and verse 30, Acts 17 and verse 30, which says, truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. So God, it means in a sense, winked his eye under the old covenant. But under the new covenant, with the greatest gift that he has given to the world, his son, Jesus Christ, he doesn't do that anymore. Men, women are without excuse. God has placed that conscience, he has made that conscience even more sensitive through Christ, who's been given to the world. Well, this is briefly expressing what it is to be the new man, a new creature in Christ. This is what he's done. This is how we once walked. But what I've shown there is all getting worse. It's declining. We're seeing the falling away. We know this. We don't have to search the scriptures. We know it in our hearts. We've seen it in the word. We see it. We hear it. It's around us. There is a global world falling away now, which is a clear sign that we are coming rapidly to the end. To the end of this dispensation. And Jesus has clearly shown us that we are to observe these signs. And we are to flee from these things that are happening from the world. And God has prepared that spiritual ark that we have got into, that's going to protect us and save us from the wrath of God that will fall upon planet Earth. Now, there are some pretty awful things that are happening now in society. And I don't have to tell you what is happening with violence, getting worse, confusion in the world. No longer men, women having respect. Respect gone for the elderly. Young people rebelling, doing exactly what they want. I don't have to tell you all of that, you know. And it progressively is getting worse and worse. And the confusion in the world is becoming crazy. Well, I want to touch on something that I've been waiting to talk about, which I believe is very, very serious. And it's actually pointing to something which the enemy is using in society, and it's a clear indication how far we have fallen and are falling. And I want to briefly just touch on transgender. And before I do that, I want us to read Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verses 22 to 24. I know you know this, you've read this a lot, we've talked about it, but in the light of what I want to talk about, which is one of the end time events that is now happening, this clearly reveals what is happening in society. And verse 22 onwards says, professing to be wise, they become fools, and change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible men, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, and to the lusts of their heart, to dishonour their bodies among themselves. We'll stop there, because I think at that point that is telling us, especially with much what we hear now in the news with regard to transgender, there's so much going on now with regard to this subject, this topic. Now it's interesting, because in my opinion, there's no such thing as transgender. You're either XX or XY chromosome. And that is it. That is how God made man and woman. He made male and female. There isn't anything else. And this is determined genetically, physiologically, science, even reality itself, all proves this. What God said in man's DNA and makeup, either double X or XY chromosomes. There isn't anything else. Whatever they try and tell you, it isn't. And even reality, life, even proves this. And so, with this falling away in society and rebellion, I believe this is a cultural assault on God. And I'm convinced that this has birthed itself out of the sexual revolution globally. It started with the hippie movement, the Age of Aquarius, the flower power, and so on. This was a revolution, a movement that started to happen. And the enemy knew exactly what he was doing here. You see, we've had revolutions right through history. We've even had the Industrial Revolution. Countries have had revolutions, and so on. And so, this was a revolution, a sexual revolution, globally. And I believe that this is probably the most damaging of revolutions Do you know why? Because transgender is a type of suicide. Your very existence in the way God created you and designed you is changed. It's actually done away with. The transgender world has a high level of suicide, but we don't often hear that. You see, these people, in their confusion, they're cutting themselves off from reality. They're cutting themselves off from relationships, normality. And it's interesting that most of them will not accept this, but it is a fact. This powerful demon ends your existence in the way that God designed you. It's going to be the end of marriage to procreate. It's breaking you away of not belonging to a family, friends, which God created, one to be a part of. It can create isolationism that is extreme. It's actually saying, I'm not who I actually am. You're disconnecting yourself from existence. The mind in this area is like a fantasy. We now live, don't we, in the world of fantasy. We now live in a world where we can construct ourselves and be whatever we want to be. This is what's happening. And the internet, this feeds this as well. Because you can create your own world, your own reality. And this is why people are so hooked on it. You can fantasize. You can live another life. You can be a different person without anybody ever knowing or having physical contact with you. The enemy knows exactly what he's doing here. I heard a while back that a five-year-old in Australia a few years ago had a sex change. A five-year-old. Those parents should have been charged. And yet it's acceptable. This is all now coming into our education. There are many people, parents, particularly the Muslim community, are up in arms against all of this. Are the Christians? I don't hear anything. God made and created you the way you are. He made you the way you are, and he's made no mistake. And what is man in this last day as he's falling away? He's fighting against the sovereignty of God. That is what's happening. And that is what is so serious. Now, some may say, well, you're made in the image of God. Well, what about those who are born deformed? Or those who are sick or whatever it is? There are not answers to everything, but what I can say also is that we are born into a sinful, fallen world, which is getting worse and worse. That I can say, because God has everything under control, but what transgenderism is doing is destroying man or woman in the image that God created and made them, which is outright rebellion against God, and man is going to suffer for this. Let God define you how he made you. And this is why we have a war now against Almighty God. And this is the reason why I'm bringing this up, because this is another end time thing that we have to see and discern and test. It is a war against God, because man is becoming his own God. And because he's becoming his own God, his mind has become reprobate. Do you know what that means, reprobate? It means that man's mind doesn't function anymore for the glory of God. That's what reprobate means spiritually. His mind, God created our minds for his glory, no longer functions for God. Even his conscience doesn't function anymore. He suppressed it, gone against it. And that is why all of this is so serious. Let's turn back then to remind ourselves what we've just read here in the light of this. For example, let's read again Romans 1, 25, 28, in light of what I've just said. Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie. There it is. They live a lie now, and worshipped and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever and ever. So they become creaturely, sensual. They're becoming like animals. For this reason, God gave them up to a vile passions. There it is. For even the women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. When you see the increase of lesbianism and women, which is happening, that is a clear sign it is moving to a desperate state. Because the nature of a woman is maternal. That is how God has made her. And when you see this happening, we are in a depraved state. Likewise, also the men leaving the natural use of the woman, burning with their lusts for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error. Notice what it says, receiving in themselves the penalty of that error. Was that AIDS that we saw at the start some years back, which was due? It could well be. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, and so on. In he lists there all. And all of those things that we see there are all so prevalent now in this age, in society, and so on. So what is God saying then in verses 25 to 28? God is effectively saying, I'm done with you. You don't listen. You don't want to walk my ways. So he gives them up to their vile lusts and affections. That is what's happening, brothers and sisters, now. We have it all around us. This is what's happening now, this very moment. God has said, I'm done with you. What does it say in Proverbs chapter 1? We're dealing this evening with end time events, things that are happening. We may not like it. We may find it difficult to swallow, but we can't push these things under the carpet. They're all around us. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 24 to 31. 24 to 31. Because I have called you, you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded, because you disdained all my counsel and you would have none of my rebuke. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. Because they hated knowledge, and they did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel, and despise my very rebuke. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. And that, brothers and sisters, is what is happening. They're living their fantasies, their lies. That is what he says. We call this in theology, what I'm talking about, the judgment of abandonment. It's when God abandons. There's eternal judgment when those in Christ will go to hell. That's eternal judgment. There's also a judgment of abandonment. And this is what I'm referring to here. And that is what God is doing in society. We have a story of this in the Old Testament, in the book of Judges, Samson. We all know the story of Samson, don't we? Where Delilah kept nagging at him because she wanted to know how he got this power. And the Philistines were trying to get the information out of her. Did you know that Samson was God's Superman? We think we've got Supermans today in Hollywood, haven't we? You know, Spider-Man or Batman or whatever it is. Well, God got in there first before Hollywood. Samson was. And she was trying to find out his strength. And eventually, he tells her. And so when the Philistines come in upon him, he rises up to come against his enemy and suddenly finds his strength has gone. And they gouged out his eyes and they put him into prison where he worked like a mule. He was abandoned by God. That is what it means. God wasn't with him anymore. But eventually, God's mercy did return because his hair started to grow again. And we know the story of how he vindicates his enemies in the last days and how he applies that pressure against those pillars when they're all in the grand hall feasting and worshipping their idols. And God vindicated and destroyed them all. But that's what happened to Samson. That is what's happening in these last days, because man is going against his conscience. And what is so awful is that the churches are not standing for the truth in these last days. They're compromising in all of this because they don't want to rock the boat. You can read this in your quiet times also in Judges 10. Again, this abandonment where God leaves. How about the book of Hosea? Chapter 4, verse 17. Hosea chapter 4, verse 17. Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. And that's what happened. They were joined to idols, and God said, they've gone too far. Let them alone. Leave them. That's what he's saying there. Did you know that Jesus said exactly the same thing? Jesus said to the Pharisees, let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. That is one of the worst statements Jesus said in the New Testament. Leave them alone. They're blind. There's the judgment of abandonment. They have gone too far. And this is what's happening in the world now. God is giving them up. Do what you want. But the warning is, what you sow is what you reap. And that is sadly what is happening today. So brothers and sisters, what are we to discern? What are we to test? Because that is what Jesus said we're to do as we bring this to conclusion. Well, I am suggesting to you, God has said now to the world, I'm done with you. Go your own way. Because that is now what we're beginning to see. They're blind leaders of the blind. And you see, God will abandon sinners to their own choices. And often God's abandonment is progressive. And so what we're seeing in God's abandonment, it's a progressive state. It's slowly getting worse and worse. We turn back again to Romans chapter 1 that we're looking at, verse 21. Of chapter 1, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So what is it saying, that one verse? They knew not God. They weren't interested. They were not interested in that conscience that God puts in all of us, which is a warning. They did not glorify him, not interested in glorifying God. They're more interested in glorifying themselves, doing their own thing, exalting themselves. We're told they're not thankful. Very little thanks today. Everyone is griping and moaning, poor old me. They became futile in their thoughts. God's given them over to their imaginations, to their dreams, their fantasies, which we've been talking about, and their foolish hearts were darkened. In other words, they profess to be wise, but they're corruptible. They're following corruptible men. And that's what is happening today. The more corrupt you are, the more popular you become. It's cool to be corrupt. Young people are exposed to such corruption. Whether it's these pop idols, these actors, you name it, whatever it is, sports people, a lot of them, they're corrupt. And they're all heroes in their eyes. That's what it means, following corruptible men. What does verse 26 say? Now this is going to come as a shock. For this reason, God gave them up to Vile passions, for even the women exchange their natural use for what is against nature. I already said that when you begin to see lesbianism on the increase like it is, that is a real, real sign something has gone drastically wrong. Because as I said, a woman's nature is maternal. But what is happening here? What are we really talking about? Well, we live in a pornographic society. TV, a lot of porn on TV, your newspapers, advertising, the fashion world, dress, the manners of people, your internet, your schools, colleges, universities. We live in a pornographic society. That is part of the revolution, the sexual revolution. Back in the hippie time and everything, which I spoke about earlier in this teaching. Satan knows how to open these doors. We live in depravity. And what does depravity mean? It means non-functional. It means to be crippled. We're replaced with immorality. And the conscience cannot function anymore. Because we live in this pornographic age, if we open our minds too much to it, our minds cannot function anymore with the conscience that God gives to man. And so he has to give it up. God turns and says, I've had enough. And that's what's happening in society. Depraved. It means that people don't think right anymore. And this is why we're seeing such depression, bipolar, mental problems, because people aren't thinking right anymore. They've become evil. They're degenerated. And this is why we're seeing more and more these barbaric acts that are happening. Violence. It's all getting worse. Because man's mind has become reprobate. He no longer has that conscience. He suppressed it to such a point. It's an evil degradation, brothers and sisters. What Satan has put into the world and society now is a sewer line. And this sewer line is from the pit. And this sewer line leaks into every walk of life and society. It's in government. It's in education. It's in colleges. It's everywhere. This sewer line. That's why I call it, now we live in an age that's pornographic. You only have to go out shopping or whatever it is, and your eyes are looking at the sensualness, the spirits of lust that are everywhere, trying to distract you. And the way people dress now. This is why God is calling us out from all of this. To be set apart from this, to be not a part of this. And we must allow the Holy Spirit to do this. Verse 18 tells us why this is happening. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. So they suppress it. society tries to suppress the gospel from being preached. Society in its day tried to suppress Jesus and his ministry, and it will do exactly the same with us, and indeed is. And this tells us what happens to society when they abandon God. This tells us what happens when you don't deal with sin, when the Holy Spirit is highlighting these things in our lives. Because what society do today is, and sadly many of the churches, they simply tolerate it. The world out there tries to suppress. And what does suppression mean? It means compromise. And God had that against the Laodicean church. Compromising. You're neither hot nor cold, but because you are lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. That's what it means. That is what is happening. And sadly, Christianity, a lot of it is doing exactly the same. And will bear the consequences as a result. They try to suppress this, which simply implies that we have a conscience. The very fact that man is trying to compromise, or is trying to compromise on the word of God, or he says, I don't like what I'm hearing, proves you have a conscience. And the very act that you're taking by rejecting what God is saying proves you're suppressing your conscience. And it's dangerous. And sadly, I have seen so many do this. Instead of saying, Lord, have mercy on me. Help me. I'm weak. I fall victim to this. I can't overcome this pornographic age that we live in. Do you think our Heavenly Father who loves us is going to turn his heart against us? No, he won't. He'll fight heaven and earth for us. He gave Jesus for us so that we can overcome the spirit of this age. As bad as it's getting. Because it's not by might nor by power, it's by my spirit, says the Lord. He won't turn us away on this. He will help us. And we're all of us being brought out of all of this. This grime, this filth. But at times, we compromise, and God isn't going to have it anymore. You see, brothers and sisters, we have a law in our hearts because we live in God's creation. That law that he set within our hearts, we only have to look up at the stars and the heavens. That tells us something. When we look at the world, nature, the animals that God's created, that tells us something. That's revealing his handiwork. This is all part of the conscience, the heart. And God has given us the greatest gift, his Son, Jesus Christ. So we are without excuse. Well, I believe that they're just some of the things that we needed to talk about today with regard to discerning the times that we're living in. It is time, brothers and sisters, to allow the Holy Spirit to turn our whole heart and affection and everything away from all of these things. Because the world is mad out there. We are seeing alarming things happening. We're seeing it now in government, in leadership, police, our judges, everything. It's turning crazy because man is no longer retaining God in his heart, his conscience. And God says, I've had enough. I'll give you up to where what your heart really wants. But boy, is he going to pay a price for this. Because we're not far away from the wrath of God that will turn upon the whole world. And the world has never seen what will come upon it. We've seen judgments through the flood, and that's bad enough, the time of Noah. But what will happen in the last days? You cannot even comprehend it. And God is offering a way of escape for you and I, because he loves us and he doesn't want us to be a part of that. That is why it is important that we hear what the Spirit says to the church. Discerning the times, man is being alienated from the life of God. That's what we have discussed this evening. Heavenly Father, sometimes you have to tell us as it is. And it may have shocked, offended, hurt, or whatever. But I'm a great believer that true love presents the truth. And you love us. And you want us to be set apart unto you as your new creation in Christ. Father, forgive us where we're compromising. Forgive us, Lord, where we're just turning a blind eye. We've all done it. We're all at times attacked by the spirit of this age that we're living in, that you have revealed tonight. Help us, Father, to turn away. Help us to resist the enemy, those temptations when they come. Father, we believe that this word that you have given to us tonight, that you've given through the Holy Spirit, you have provided the means that we can overcome, else you would not have said these things. You never leave us in despair or in weakness, but you provide for our overcoming life. You provide for the deeper life in the Spirit. You paid that price at Calvary. And that is why we look to the cross, to the work that was wrought there through Christ. Help us, Father, to keep close with you, and in prayer, and in the word, and in fellowship with you and each other. Thank you today for making this meeting possible and for bringing my brothers and sisters in for fellowship here today. I pray, Lord, that you bless, preserve, and keep them. Keep them from the evil one, from temptation, above all from themselves. Preserve and be with them when they go out and when they come in. Renew their youth like the eagles. By your stripes they were healed at Calvary. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
Bless the Lord.